making our way back to the land of the free and the home of the brave. That's coming up on today's Hot Zone.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, Chuck Holton here. It's been an interesting couple of days, and so you might wonder why this podcast is a little bit late. I'm about to explain. Panama, as you know, has one of the most restrictive, actually I think the most restrictive quarantine measures in place of any place in the Western Hemisphere. And that means that for about 10 weeks, we've been on total lockdown in our homes to the point where technically you're supposed to have one person from your family designated to go grocery shopping or get medicine or whatever. And they get an hour to go out on days corresponding to their gender. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday for women, Tuesday, Thursday for men. But you can only go out for an hour based on the number on the last number of your passport. As crazy as all that sounds. And Saturdays and Sundays, nobody can leave their house. Other than that, you're supposed to stay inside, stay in your house, not go anywhere. You can't go for a walk. You can't walk your dog, nothing. And as you can imagine, that's been getting pretty old after about 10 weeks of that. And we were supposed to open up, the country was supposed to open up after 1 month, and then they extended it to 2 months. And so the last we had heard, it was going to end on May 23rd. We had tickets to the States on June 8th. And then we were told that they had extended it at least another 30 days and probably another 60 days before they would open up the country. And so now you're talking about into August. And Connie said, I can't do this anymore. We got to go see our kids. Get me out of here. So we got on a list with the U.S. Embassy for humanitarian flights that have been repatriating people back to their countries. And lo and behold, a flight came up for May 25th. Back to the States from Panama to Miami, Copa Airlines. And we got on that flight. So we had to get special permission from the embassy in order to be on the roads to go to the airport. And we packed everything up in a day or two, everything we could, not knowing when we'll go back to Panama, because since I can't work, if I can't come and go freely, and we're going to have to stay in the United States and so that I can do my job until Panama opens up and allows unrestricted travel. So we're not sure. That could be August. It could be October. At the very earliest, it'll be August. So that means that we packed everything up. We got somebody in town to come and watch our house, one of our employees, and live in our house, take care of our animals and our monkeys and all that. And then we got in the car on Sunday and we drove into the city. And that was a surreal experience. The roads were completely empty. There were checkpoints. I think we went through four or five checkpoints total between our house and the embassy and the airport. We went in the night before. We spent the night with some friends. And the roads that are typically absolutely packed any time of day or night were just completely empty. You saw people like walking in the middle of the road. It really looked like something out of The Walking Dead. I'm not kidding. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. But that was just the beginning of the surreal experience. When we got to the airport, it took at least, I think, 20 or 30 minutes to be allowed into the airport, because they're only allowing maybe three or four people at a time to enter the airport. And so once they get through getting their tickets and putting their luggage in and that sort of thing, then they're allowed to go through security and three or four more people are allowed to come into the airport. There was one thing that became abundantly clear very quickly, and that is that this is not a sustainable means of travel. There's absolutely no way that international travel can survive if this is the new normal. It's just not possible. Social distancing will not work. And here's the craziest thing. We had to show up at the airport 4 hours early. And I thought, well, that's stupid. There's no possible way. No, typically, I could get in Panama. The airport's pretty small. I could get from the curb to my gate within about 10 minutes. But now there are no priority lanes. There are all these extra checks. You're not allowed in the airport. You know, it was unbelievable how long it took us to actually get to our gate. But even still, we still had a couple hours to wait once we got in there. So they put red X's on every other seat in the waiting area to remind you to social distance. But if you think about it, most people usually take a seat and then put their bags in the seat next to them. So they kind of do that anyway. So whatever. They're absolutely rabid about social distancing. You have to wear a mask from the time you get out of your car all the way onto the plane for the entire flight until you get, I guess, into your car or wherever your destination is. I didn't like that at all. I'm wearing a mask for that long period of time. I can handle wearing a mask if I'm going to the grocery store and I'm going to be in there for 10 minutes and get my food and leave. But wearing a mask for 8 hours straight, no, that's not a thing. I'm not liking that at all. But the craziest thing is, you know, they were just insane about the social distancing. They had these marks on the chairs. They had made us all stand 2 meters apart. They, you know, everything like that. And then what? They put us on a plane and pack us in shoulder to shoulder on a completely full flight. So what's the point of social distancing? It just didn't make any sense. I really felt sorry for the crew on the plane. They were literally dressed up like they were going into surgery. They, you know, hair nets, booties, full length suits, goggles, everything. Unbelievable. And of course they didn't serve any refreshments or anything on the plane. They did give us a bag when we got on the plane that had a mask and some gloves in it, like we wouldn't already have those. And it had a bottle of water and I think maybe a little bag of chips or something in there. But, man, if that is the future of air travel, you guys can have it. I'll figure out something else to do. No, thank you. They've already, as you know, over the last 10 years, it's almost like they have a committee to say, how can we make air travel more uncomfortable? I know. Let's make it so the seats won't recline. Yeah, that'd be good. How can we make people more miserable when they travel? That's what we need to do. But they've taken that idea and put it on steroids at this point. It is just insane now. And so we got to Miami. Nobody checked our temperature. We got off the plane. There were customs agents there that welcomed us. They, of course, the global entry lanes weren't working, and we had to all go through customs. And it did take quite a while to get our bags. Surprising since there were so few flights, but it probably took an hour almost for our bags to come off the plane. And then we went to get a rental car. Rental cars are very, very cheap right now because a lot of these rental car companies are going out of business. I didn't realize, you know, I never thought about the fact that rental car companies have massive fleets of cars, and most of them are usually rented. They're out on the roads. So they don't really need a lot of parking because they just have very few cars that are coming and going at any given time. But now, with all of their cars parked, they're having to rent out massive parking lots at empty churches or things like that to try to store all these vehicles. And as you probably saw, Hertz went bankrupt, and many more car companies are hurting pretty bad. So we got a really good deal on a rental car, and it was just the most wonderful feeling to get in that car in Miami and just start driving, just go out on the freeways and start driving, to get to a grocery store and be able to walk in and just go get what you need. to, you know, we've missed the worst of it with the shortages of toilet paper and all that kind of stuff. And we're finally in a country that is doing its best to get back to normal. And it's, I'll just tell you from an outsider's point of view, coming into America, I believe America is going to bounce back pretty quickly. Now, it's not going to bounce all the way back to where we were. We're not going to magically create 36 million new jobs in the next couple of months. But I think we're going to get back to work pretty quickly. And I think, personally, that is absolutely horrifying to the Democratic Party. Because if America bounces back pretty quickly, that obviously is going to help the reelection chances of Donald Trump. And so they're not... I would say watch carefully, because if your political party's platform is predicated on keeping people miserable, on not wanting good things to happen to the United States right now, that's a pretty bad place to be. And however your political leanings are, that's something to think about. If you can't get behind a very quick reopening of this country, I think you need to check your priorities for sure. I think at this point we ought to be saying, I don't care if Mickey Mouse is running the country as long as we get our jobs back as quickly as possible. But I will say that the one thing that I've learned from this whole quarantine, the biggest lesson that I've taken away from this is that God has taught me that I have worked for many years being busy, thinking that I needed to be running on that hamster wheel as hard as I could to provide for my family, put food on the table. And God, over the last 10 weeks, took the hamster wheel away completely from me and a whole lot of other people. And yet, we're still surviving, and we're still doing well. And we're still able to help people. And so I think the lesson that I've learned is I'm just supposed to be obedient. I'm just supposed to do what I'm called to do. And that's why I'm doing this podcast, because I feel like, although the podcast is not super profitable, it's certainly not making us any money that we could live on. We're just trying to give away the money that comes in through the podcast. And y'all have been very generous, and that's helped a lot of people. But in providing for other people, somehow our needs are being provided for as well. And I'm very grateful for that. And I think there's a good lesson for all of us in that. So have a great day. I will get back to getting the podcast going as soon as we get up to our house in West Virginia. That might be a few days. But I'm just so grateful to be back in the United States of America. And it's nice to be reminded why we're called the land of the free. All right, that's all I've got for today. Thanks for watching The Hot Zone.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.